We're going to turn to, in our Bibles, to Romans 18. We only have a few more chapters in Revelation. And last week, we were studying about the false church and all of those things in chapter 17. And in this chapter, it goes into some more of that. But let us bow our heads and ask the Lord to help us and understand what we're hearing and get something good from it. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, so much for the Word of God, for your truth that you give to us. And Lord, we know that this was written long ago and far away. But Lord, we know that it's the truth of your Word that was published and even today published in Bibles for us to see and to hear. We're believing you right now, Father, that you will just bless us and help us as we study this, Father. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. In chapter 17, there were several things that made us know who that this woman riding on this beast. Notice in chapter 17, in verse 3, it says, "He carried me away in the spirit to the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast that was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. She was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication." And then on over in in verse 9, we read, "Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." And we talked about how that this is the false church, the false system that became prominent, and even in around 1500 was great persecution of anyone who did not believe in this religion. And God brought those Christians through. Thousands of them were killed. And I had the statistic last week with me, which I don't have right now, but over the centuries, there's been many people killed. Like I told you, I knew personally some things happening in New Mexico where we lived, and also in South America, missionaries coming back and telling us things that took place. But now in this 18th chapter, it's still speaking about this same subject. And it says the last form of apostate Christendom, the warning of God's people. When the Lord instituted the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was very informal. They met on the hillside, they met at the river, they met in places that they could meet in, homes. It was very, very, very simple. There wasn't any big to-do, you know, big something about it. Of course, they wouldn't even have had a building as nice as this building. They didn't have those kind of things. They met in homes in Paul's day a lot. And so, so we see as we go here that Christendom became a big, gigantic cathedrals and big places and things that people do now, today even. And so let's read in verse 1 of chapter 18. "After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory." The word angel, I've mentioned it to you several times, I'm going to tell you again. It doesn't mean always an angel like we think of flying around. That is one form of the word angel. But the word angel in the Greek means messenger. And so it's speaking about God sending somebody down to the earth to do something or other. It's not always an angel. And in this place, it says that this messenger had great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. Now, the one that has great power and the earth is lightened with the glory is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to come back soon and take away some people from this earth. He will come back again a little bit later and take away some more people from this earth to heaven. But that's the glory of the Lord. That is the Lord Jesus Christ right there. He's going to come with great power. And I thought it was interesting when we say, when we look at that word power in the Greek, it means to shine. He's going to come back with such great power that he's just going to shine. And he's going to bring judgment. He cried mightily with a strong voice. And that word in the Greek is mighty, a mighty voice. We think of the Lord speaking in the Old Testament in different places where it was a mighty voice when God spoke. They fully understood what was said when God spoke. And in this case, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back down and he speaks with a mighty voice, it's going to be very understood. And he says, Babylon is fallen, and has become the habitation of demons. The word devils in your Bible is demons. And the hold of every foul spirit, and of a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. So, religious Babylon, what is or who is Babylon? We know that there are some people that are teaching that old ancient Babylon is going to be restored and rebuilt. I believe Saddam Hussein was trying to build Babylon again before he got killed. He was thinking that he was going to reestablish Babylon. And there are people in the world that teach that Babylon is going to be restored, the natural Babylon, and that that's who this is speaking of. But Babylon, we know, is here speaking of the ecclesiastical religious Babylon. The Catholic Church, it began way back there. You know, we all had that beginning of Apostle Paul and the apostles, the 12 apostles and all those things in the Bible. That's how the Christian church was started. But later on in their religion, they became where they were making their own rules and telling people they had to do certain things in order to be accepted. And all of the things that were said, and most of you know all of that, so I really don't have to tell you that. And it is called what we call the false church. The false church. People have been converted out of Catholicism. We knew quite a few of them that were, even a priest down in New Mexico. He was continuing on for some time after he was really, really realized what salvation was and accepted Christ. He continued on as a priest even after we came up here. And I probably told you that already too. But he, after some time, he got filled with the Holy Spirit, for one thing. And then when I had to be there for a special program they had, played the piano one time for a 50th wedding anniversary, the people were singing the songs just like we sung at church. And we were told that he had a special service each Sunday for the Catholic people, I believe like the old time, and then he had the one for the believers. And so since then, he has come out of the Catholic Church. But and I've dealt with a lot of people who are Catholic, and I love them dearly. And we always want to tell them about how they can be delivered and come into real light of the Word of God, not have to feel like they have to talk just to a priest and tell their faults and things like that, but talk to Jesus. Hallelujah. Who is our great high priest, the Bible says. Praise the Lord. And so this is speaking of religious Babylon here. And let's read a little bit there again. There in, it's going to fall. They will become, like we saw in the last chapter, they were riding on the beast. The beast is the Antichrist. They're going to join up with the Antichrist. And then the Antichrist will turn on them And it's going to be terrible destruction. And that's what we're seeing in these chapters. So, verse 3, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And so when it's speaking of fornication here, it's speaking about unfaithfulness. And so many, many people have come into that over the years. And, of course, in the Dark Ages, many, many other people who didn't believe that way were killed. I had a statistic that was something like 50-something thousand killed, you know, at different times. But I don't have that with me today, but I mentioned that to you last time. Number 4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. So he's making a call. Even, you know, we're near the end of time right now. We're very near the time of tribulation when this is going to happen. But there will still be people on the earth who know Jesus as their Savior and yet have not come out. And many have come out. We know that. But the Lord is going to call them out because he sees those who really believe in him. And they are in the different various churches. Many churches that teach error have real believers in them. And God will call the people out to come on and out of this group and follow after him. And so that is a precious verse right there. He's calling his people out, those that are born again. Be not partakers of her sins, that they receive not of her plagues, because she's going to be judged, and Antichrist also. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Now, there are people that teach that Babylon is just the Antichrist and his followers. But she's constantly called a she here in this place, her and her people. It's constantly said that in these scriptures that we're reading. And so we definitely believe that this is speaking of the falsity and the error that came about, where many, many people were killed and imprisoned. And you remember, you've heard about the Iron Maiden and a lot of things that the country of Spain invented to kill and to hurt Christians. Okay? Going on now in our text in verse 5, her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. And in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. And the word deliciously in the original Greek is a word that is luxuriously, luxuriously. And that has been what I have noted, what my parents and different ones who taught the Word of God in different places where we have lived, is the luxury of the church, the luxury of the many things of the church. And God calls it, he says he's glorified herself in luxury. I've visited a lot of those big churches in New Mexico, so I know how beautiful and wonderful they are, and the many idols that they have, the different groups and different people. And so notice what the latter part of the verse says. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and I am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Think about the idolatry. The Bible, if they go to by the Old Testament law, which they say that they do, why do they have idols? Because God was so terribly against idols. He hated idols. Israel would worship all kinds of idols at the last of in the Old Testament, when they weren't really following God anymore. They were worshiping idols of all kinds, even idols where the idol would have its arms out, it'd be red hot, and they'd lay their little babies up on the arms of this idol. That's what Israel was doing. And God very plainly said in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before thee. Thou shalt not bow down to them or worship them. That's very much the word of God. And so it's amazing, isn't it, when we read that, you know, the worship of idolatry was so prominent and is so prominent. So God says to reward her according to her works. Verse 7, how much she hath glorified herself. I read that already. Okay. For she says in the last part of that verse, I sit a queen and am no widow and will see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her. The word deliciously, luxuriously, and when it talks about fornication, it's not talking about physical fornication. It's talking about joining with and taking on. In the latter days, especially in the 7 years, that will be the prominent thing. The Antichrist and his followers will be joined with this group, this Catholic Church. They will be joined together, and they'll be just doing great. And yet they're going to come against her. As it says, the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is the judgment come. So at first, it'll look like all the world is unhappy, but actually the Antichrist and his followers will be against this because they want promoted that Antichrist is God. Antichrist is Christ. And so they're going to be glad that this group is gone. And then verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is the judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones, of pearls and fine linen, of purple and silk and scarlet, and all thyon wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory, and all manners of vessels of most precious wood, and brass, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. So it lists all of the things that down through the centuries they have had great wealth, and their, of course, all of their ways that they dress as priests. They dress in these beautiful, beautiful garments of every kind of beautiful colors and things, and use these frankincense and ointments and things in odors of anointing things and anointing people. And then in verse 14, the fruits of thy soul, the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. In 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company of ships and sailors and as many as had trade by the sea stood afar off, and they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust in their head and cried and wept and wailed and said, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reasons of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. So it'll be the end of political and religious system. That is, in our day, the Antichrist will be the only ruler at this point on the earth. So going on, verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus will violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. So there is going to be great judgment come and the city be destroyed, and the Lord is going to be very just in that, because Jesus Christ is our high priest. There is no other place in the Bible that says ministers are to become priests. You know that? We're not to become priests. We're not to become the people the ones that people come and confess their sins to. You don't owe me a thing. You don't have to tell me your sins. You know who you have to tell them to? To the great high priest on high, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one. And so he is exalted. Praise the Lord. And so the angel, the mighty angel, no doubt this is still that person that we were talking about in the first of this chapter. It's a mighty that showed Jesus Christ is coming back. No doubt he will judge and bring about this destruction. Then in verse 22, and the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. In her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And many, many, many people were killed by this group. In the Dark Ages especially, as I mentioned. But I know even today that many are persecuted when they deny or come out of the church. In places like New Mexico, the Indian people that have been persecuted. And praise the Lord that God has this in the Word of God so that we all can know. The Scripture teaches us that Jesus Christ is our priest, as I said. He teaches us he's the head of the church. There is no man on earth that's head of the church. In our group, we're not an organization. Most of you know this. But we don't look to any one person as being head of our church. We don't look you don't look to me to tell you what to do or what to pray about. You have the Scripture. You have the Word of God, the same as I do. And when you come and hear the Word of God, it teaches you how and what God wants you to know. Praise the Lord. And so one of these days there is going to be this. Now there is two sides of Babylon. One is the religious part. The other part is the political part. And that's Antichrist. Antichrist will be here on this earth. And he will be very horrible. I'm glad I can tell you today that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to be here. You won't be here in the tribulation of 7 years. You're going to be in heaven with the Lord. He's going to take up people in different groups, but all of us who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior are going to be with the Lord before this all takes place, before all this tribulation takes place. Next week, our lesson will be on the 19th chapter, which I've taught in more recent times. But that chapter is it's just full of joy. It talks about the people in heaven. So that'll be a good one for us to have next, won't it?